foundation, spreading positive knowledge and crucial conversation. All rise for the wheel ride, drink and show. Let's go.
Crucial Conversations with Will Rodriguez. Welcome back. Welcome back. If you guys have not subscribed or liked this podcast, be sure to do that. Today, I got a very special guest. Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here.
Excited to have you, man. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Got a long story.
So. Okay, you want to hear it.
So I was born and raised in Ohio. Was very poor. Had to fight for everything I had. So kind of preference it all back to the very beginning for me. My mom, she was adopted. My grandma was part of a biker gang, Hell's Angels.
Okay, I heard of that.
Her nickname was Grasshopper.
Why is that?
Well, she hopped around from guy to guy. I don't know my true grandpa. My grandma was also a lesbian. So the time that was not acceptable. She ended up selling my mom to her lover, who was, in that time, we called Butch. She rolled up her cigarette pack in her sleeve, I'd known her, knew her as a mammal. So I didn't know any different. She made life pretty good. Around 7 years old, and she ended up having a heart attack and devastated my mom. Mom had a brother named Arlie from the lady, and he was autistic and has Down syndrome. So he was going through, and we haven't really seen him since. Ended up moving back in with my grandma. Was homeless, was sleeping on shit and urine stained floors from cats and dogs. I had to learn how to weed eat. I wasn't allowed to mow grass or learn how to drive anything because they were afraid I was going to leave. And I was kind of their free help, free work. So from a very young age, I learned how to work hard because you didn't get to do anything unless you worked hard. So went through schooling. Schooling was not typical. I was sheltered. I wasn't allowed around other kids. Wasn't allowed around to see how things, normal people live life. So I'd come home. I'd have to do homework. Homework was a struggle. None of my family had graduated high school, let alone college, besides my mom. Mom was going through her own demons. She was suffering from drug addiction. My dad was an alcoholic, and he was suffering from drug addiction as well. They put the substance before us. We kind of just ate what we could and found out what we could. We had to come in, do our homework. Nobody would help us. Didn't have that, you know, luxury of having somebody that was able to guide us through that. They forced us to do our homework, which is a good thing because we ended up graduating, which is vital for where I'm at now. Kind of had that self-drive, self-motivation from it. We lived in a very awkward living environment. So it housed my grandma, my grandpa, well, my step-grandpa, because I don't know my real grandpa, my aunt, my uncle, my adopted uncle, my mom, my dad, brother, and we all just kind of stayed in this one house, and my grandma collected rent from my parents. We didn't really see that. My dad's side of the family didn't really get to go visit them much because when I was younger, I had very traumatic events with them. I was playing out in my yard when my grandpa had somebody rob him of his drugs. He came out and blew his brains out all over the sidewalk.
Whoa.
Police in Newport pulled up. This is Newport, Kentucky. Police in Newport pulled up, asked my grandpa what happened. My grandpa had one arm. He got it caught to a coal mine, and it got destroyed. So he only had one good arm. Later, I come to find out that he was in the pockets of the Newport police. So they kind of asked him what was going on. And they scooped the body off the ground and said, well, he shouldn't have robbed you. Fast forward a couple years, my aunt was struggling with heroin addiction. She went to church. I convinced her to go to church. She said she found Jesus that morning, but was still struggling with that addiction. And she took a shot that she would normally take, even though she'd been clean for a while. She had just gotten out of prison. And, blew her heart, and she came out staggering. And I could tell she wasn't doing well, and she collapsed on my feet, died on my feet, and threw up part of her heart onto my feet. They didn't call the cops because, or ambulance, because they were afraid of drugs. So I'm sitting there trying to revive her at 9 years old. It was a crazy time, but honestly, the only thing I believe that got me through all that, they forced me to go to church, and then I found my love for God, Christ.
Wow. That's amazing. In the beginning, like, you know, growing up, man, like, you grew up fast.
Yeah, I had to learn how to grow up, take care of my brother.
At that time, was that normal to you, or you're like, okay, something's a little off?
I mean, I wasn't able to get out and see what normal looked like, so it felt normal to me.
So that's all you knew, essentially. Yeah. And you said you took care of your youngest. Were you looked at as a leader early on, you would say? You took on the responsibility early on?
Well, I was leader. I just was making sure my brother didn't die. That was my main thing.
Essentially,
I just wanted to make sure we survived. We didn't blow anything up, because my brother had kind of a wild side. He was the rebellion one. I kind of went with whatever they told me to do. I was like, okay, you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. My brother kind of was, oh, you tell me to do that, I'm going to do the opposite. And then he did the opposite. I'm the older one. I took responsibility for it. So kind of my lashes for my younger brother.
So if you guys resonate with this story, be sure to type in the comment section, maybe a story that you guys have that you guys want to share as well. But this is a good story here. Man, like, how did you cope with all the pain, all the suffering at that time as a child, essentially?
Well, a lot of it was pent up, and a lot of it wasn't discussed. I did attempt suicide, cut my wrist. It was probably the lowest point I've ever been in my entire life. And that was years later. I had to end up taking care of my grandma and grandpa. Mm-hmm. They got medical issues. I was kind of like the primary caregiver, making sure the house. I was kind of like the adult of the house at a young age. And now I look back and I'm like, man, that was messed up.
But you know what normal is, right?
Yeah, I got a little more sense of what normal is. Developed more of a relationship with God. So things have been a lot more clear and drastic from my childhood.
Do you hold any grudges or any resentment at all with any of your family members, you would say? Or
again, my relationship with God is kind of, I had to let that go. Mm-hmm. I had to love them for who they are. That was my mom. That was my dad. And I only got one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took me actually losing them to realize, you know, I did love them. Yeah. I still, like, it hurts, but it's good at the same time because they're not suffering. They're not going through that addiction. And they seen the progress I've made as an adult and the things I've taken. I was, through my hard work and being able to get done, I was able to work myself out of poverty. I was able to provide the funeral calls for my dad. I was able to provide the funeral calls for my mom. I was able to provide the funeral calls for my aunt, making sure that they were taken care of, unlike how I was. It kind of sounds self, you know, gratifying, but it's not even that. It was just, I worked my tail off to where I didn't have to deal with that ever. And honestly, I feel like if I had other guys that were able to communicate with me back then and, you know, had that ability to be able to open up, I would never have attempted suicide. I feel like as guys, we're told to shove our feelings down. We're told to bite our tongues. We're told to be that stoic person.
Yeah.
And I was reading an article the other day, and it's like men are 4 times more likely to commit suicide over anybody.
And that's
nuts. Why are we not talking to each other? Why is it hard for us to open up about it?
Yeah. Wow, very true. I did look into that as well recently, and I'm not sure what the exact numbers are, but I know that men have a higher success rate in suicide than women. But, you know, women deal with depression, with suicidal thoughts as well.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, everybody deals with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point in time. You go through that motion, hormones. And that's kind of, I think, in the height of everything when I went through that is I was starting to grow and develop. My hormones were out of whack. I didn't have a chance to have somebody be like, hey, let's sit down and talk about what's going
on. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You are growing. This is what's happening. You got big emotions and big feelings. And I feel like nowadays it's a little more open about it, and it's great that it's on TV and it shows that hotline. There are people that if you do feel lonely, you need to reach out. You need to be in communication with people. I know that's like your darkest time. You don't want that, but you got to force yourself to do it.
Mm, that's so good. And, you know, I want to touch on the emotion part. One thing I love about David in the Bible is not only was he like a man's man, right? A straight killer, right? A warrior for God. But he also was a worshiper. He would worship God freely. But also, he was human. Like, he messed up a lot.
We all mess up. We have our daily battles.
But it's interesting, as I read Psalms, you know, there's one verse that he's glorifying God. He's thanking God, right? And then on the next chapter, he's like, God, where are you? I don't feel you. I don't think you're responding. Like, what is going on? Like, you're leaving me out here to be, you know, killed. But in the next chapter, he's like, thank you so much, Lord, for being faithful. I'm like, hold on. That's like us sometimes, right? We go up, we go down. But I think what I'm getting from you is not to be acting on emotion, right?
We gotta step back and look at the big picture of what's going on in our life that's causing these waves, and how can we step back and correct that?
I talked to one of my buddies recently, and he's like, hey man, I don't have any motivation. He used to, you know, get up super early, workout, I mean, very high successful type of individual. And you know, as I was talking to him, I'm like, and he was processing with me this information, which also you know, drives your point about connecting with other people. And for me, obviously, I'm from the outside in, and I'm just trying to figure out what he's dealing with. And right away, I was like, bro, you're not, you know, suffering with depression. You're getting thoughts that are making you feel depressed, right? And I'm like, how about you do boom, boom, boom. Told him a few things that he could do. And now it's the exact opposite. He's full of life, waking up early, working out, you know, growing in his business. So, man, that's so crucial to have conversations with other people that, you know, maybe we could trust.
Right? Well, it's hard, though, you know. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to open up about those things. But that's because society and the devil is fighting against you, saying, hey, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve to be happy. You don't deserve And it's also human, you know. We don't feel like we're all the time worthy of it. And, you know, I've been there multiple times where I'm like, who am I to, I shouldn't even be on this earth. Like, I attempted suicide. Mm-hmm. That was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like God has bigger fish to fry sometimes. Well, at least that's what we feel, right? We're like, who are we? That's interesting you say that, too, just because you know, for me, I've been connecting with people that are better than me in, you know, in certain areas. For example, working out, right? I'm connecting now with a guy that he's running 4 miles every day. I don't run. I do a little bit of push-ups, a little bit of weights, but not really, right? I'm slacking. So as I'm, you know, connecting with this individual, he's pushing me to get better in my workouts. He's pushing me to eat healthier. Also, on the business side, I'm connecting with people that are in a different level than me. So when I feel like I suck and I'm stuck, he's like, oh, just change this around here. Oh, that's what I needed, right? It's that 1% change that, you know, leads to more success in a sense when I feel stuck. So, man, that's a really good conversation we're having here about men and talking about their feelings, because we need to have more men that are, maybe they find their tribe, maybe they find a person that they could connect with and have these type of conversations.
Yeah, and I mean, if anybody ever wants to talk or has an issue, I'm always available for that.
Okay.
Like, I know I struggled for the longest time, but like now I'm to the point of, if I don't do it, I'm going to sink back into that. And I don't want to be back in that dark hole.
Absolutely. Like,
you feel alone. You feel abandoned. You have people right there. And it's just that, you know, visor that goes over your eyes because your brain is running a million miles a minute. What am I doing here? Why am I here? This is not, I don't deserve to be here. Like, these people don't care about me. It's false. You're getting falsehoods whispered in your ear on a daily. It's insecurities. We feel that we're going to be judged. I feel like a lot of pride goes into it.
For sure.
We're supposed to be the breadwinners of the family.
Yeah.
If we have that moment of, crap, this is weakness, we're not that breadwinner now. Mm. And I still feel like we can have those weak moments and still be the man that we want to be.
Mm. That's so good. That's so good. One thing I notice about, you know, successful entrepreneurs, I connected with like a bunch of like people that are successful and influencers, if you want to call them that. But those guys will ask questions. Even somebody like me or other people, right? Quick question. I'm just curious about this. They're curious. They ask questions. They want to know, right, more because they know there's going to be other people that know more than them. So they're always curious, always hunting for more information. And one thing I noticed about them, too, is that they don't do most of the talking. They do most of the listening and the asking. So it's kind of interesting dynamic. But going back to your point, we need to humble ourselves. Right?
Yeah. We got to get out of our own way. We're our own worst enemy.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how pride could lead us into a place that we don't want to be, but because we're so prideful, we almost walk into that knowingly.
We dive head first into a shallow pool, and that pool is not very deep at all.
Man, if you guys struggle with pride, put that in the chat below, because I certainly struggle with pride.
I definitely do too. I swear to say 1,000%. I don't think anybody has ever not struggled at some point in time.
Yeah.
Feet, chest.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get us anywhere. Day, I'm looking at all the things I am collecting and doing. I don't want to put those things before God. I'm on that struggle of, okay, where is too much? What am I doing? How do I make sure that I'm doing the sacrifice to God and not all about me? That's my current struggle now.
Yeah.
I'm working through it. Been volunteering at the church. And my one thing that I need to really just dive deeper into the Bible, and that's holding myself accountable to actually reading and understanding, not just surface reading,
but
diving into it. That's a daily struggle. Yeah. I mean, we have our life. You know, we both work at TQL, so that we're daily doing something with logistics, talking to drivers, 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
There's, you got to fit him in. Mm-hmm. You've got to, or he's going to kick you out.
And how do you do that from, like, is it like in the morning, in the evening, during lunch, or how does that look like?
So
putting God first in everything you do, from your understanding.
I struggle with that daily. Okay. I have recently started, you know, praying throughout the day, which it's instructed in the Bible to do so. When I come across situations where I don't know what to say or what to do or how to act, I stop and, you know, meditate for a few seconds and then go back to what I was, you know. It allows you then to have that peace, because you get that peace calming of God coming over you. And then it allows you to step away and breathe too, because sometimes you're too deep into the woods and you need to step back out and figure out, what was I doing in there in the first place? Why did I go down that path?
That's so good. That's so good. You know, you talked about forgiving. That's one thing. And that's something that's very hard. Especially for somebody with your background. Was it just like an overnight thing, or was it walk me through that?
An overnight thing. So I was struggling. I mean, I was struggling for, well, I attempted suicide. So that's the point. It was like, they're going to hurt me. You know what? I'm going to hurt them back. It's kind of like I was going to hurt them. I wasn't going to have to deal with that stress. I wasn't going to have to deal with that hurt anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be out of here. It was selfish.
How was that selfish, though, if you were feeling that? Did you think, okay, the world's better out without me? Those are some thoughts that
went through your mind? Yes, and the fact that I was escaping from my family, escaping from that, it was selfish from the fact that, you know, now that I look back and I you know, I have a better understanding of what God intends for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't have it all figured out by any means. I would mm-hmm. never have it all figured out. But I have a general more purpose of what God wants me to do, and that's to testify where I was in my situation. In the Bible, you know, we go to church and we have these expectations, like, mm-hmm. but that's church setting those expectations, mm-hmm. church setting those people that we need to hang out with, church setting how we act, how we behave, mm-hmm. how we pray, how we bow our head. And I'm not saying that church is bad. Church is great. You need mm-hmm. that fellowship like we were talking about at the beginning. I just feel God was with whores and drug addicts mm-hmm. and leopards. And that was his main following. I'm not saying we need to be in that type of crowd or in those environments, but those are who we should be reaching out to.
Oof. Wow, now you're preaching.
I was one of those. Mm-hmm. God provided me a route. He's provided me a clean route, and I'm at where I'm at now. And I'm now in a church. I now volunteer at this church. I'm going through an application process to be more involved in it. I want to help continue to grow, just not like myself, but like spiritually.
Yeah.
And I'm human. I mess up. I cuss. You know, pornography is a thing. It mm-hmm. happens. It's those things that we work towards getting away from. Mm-hmm. It's the growth. And I feel like God sees that growth. God understands that we're not perfect.
Yeah.
There's only one perfect person, mm-hmm. and that Absolutely. Was God. And I'm not saying this to downsize anybody's mm-hmm. feelings or understand. Like, it's just, we have to go through these battles. We're not the only one going through these battles.
Woo! Man, I'm going to stop you right there because that's a lot. So the first part you talked about, not just hanging out with people that you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
It seems like people just want to hang around with people that are just like them. Right? No disagreements, no nothing, right? Because they feel safe, secure, right? And maybe they have certain values and principles that they live by. And I hear people quote this all the time, like, get away from bad energies, negative people, all this stuff. I disagree with a lot of that stuff just because it doesn't make sense. Like, how are you going to be a light if you're away from darkness?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. So I understand that you're not going to be conforming. You're not going to be doing the same thing that they do, or they have a bad influence on you. You have to cut that off. I get it, but not being completely away. So I love the fact that you brought that up. And this is a message for, you know, people that go to church that are just comfortable going to church and hanging out with a certain amount of people, certain people in their church. Maybe they have to consider reaching out to people that are lost, that are broken, especially because we're saved from sin, saved from hell, right?
Well, they don't know that other aspect mm-hmm. of it. They only see the earthly things. And when you get saved, I don't know the best way to describe it. It just feels like everything's just ripped away.
Yeah.
Like, not in a bad way. Like, all that negativity. And it's not an overnight thing. It's a gradual, slow process.
Mm-hmm.
You start feeling, okay, well, my money issues were a huge thing. I'm not saying that they won't ever still be a huge thing, but I have something outside of this world that's taking care of me. Mm-hmm. And I have things that are going to set me free. And me setting free is not the financial things. Mm-hmm. It's I have just a joy and a happiness.
Yeah.
I don't have that heavy burden. And that was coming back to the mm-hmm. forgiving, I struggled 15, 20 years at least
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out how to forgive. And I'm not a preacher. I don't pull Bible verses straight out of the top of my head, but God said that he's going to cast our sins and mm-hmm. our grievances in the deepest seas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never. God's got. There's days that I know I go home, I'm angry, I struggle with anger. There's days I walk out of here and I'm not happy about things, but I go home to my wife, I look at my home that I have now, I'm not on the streets, I'm not suffering for food, I'm not in an issue, and I'm not saying that I could never just go back there. Can mm-hmm. I can't blink of my eye. This world we live in is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But you'll be different. You'll be full of joy and peace.
It's a little different now. Mm-hmm. I have love in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see people hurting. I don't want to see people suffering. Do I think there's justice that needs to be served? Obviously, yes. If people do bad things, but we're not the ones to judge that. We're just here to, okay, I get that you're struggling with this. And let's talk about it. Let's understand where your mindset is. Let's see where you're at. That was kind of the reset I had to have with myself. What really got me was when, like, this, I was a wishy-washy Christian for a while. When my mom passed away, and that was last year, when everything, I went started going a little more, and, my mind was just, I was hurt. I was mad. I was mm-hmm. sad. There was so many emotions because I loved my mom. She provided me life. I was mad at my mom because she made me go through all that. I was sad that my mom was gone. I was joyous that she's no longer suffering. I'm mm-hmm. not saying I was joyous that she passed away because dying is, a lot of people see that as the end. Mm-hmm. It's not the end, though. I was able to have those conversations with my mom, towards the end of her life of, mm-hmm. hey, are you saved? And, mm-hmm. I did that with my dad. My dad ended up saying the Lord's Prayer and accepting Jesus mm-hmm. into his heart the week before he died of cancer. And I could see it, you can just see. And he struggled with alcohol. He was an alcoholic my entire life. I watched him knock my mom out, fist fights. There's so many stories I can go into, mm-hmm. but for the time's sake, I won't go into all this. Me and my dad, our relationship, I was a mom's boy. Me and my dad, our relationship, we butted heads. We got fights and arguments, and he wanted me to do better, and he wanted good things for me. Yeah. And it's just, we didn't always see eye to eye. Mm. And he was raised of, you don't spoil the kid. You don't see the kid. The kid doesn't talk. They're there to know their place. Mm-hmm. When I got older, I was not in that of, I'm going to know my place and shut up rebelling. I was tired of the situation. I was tired of living paycheck to paycheck and mm-hmm. not knowing that. And I was tired of living on a cot and floor and I was just tired of the situation. It just snapped at me. And I was mm-hmm. Screw this. And I just started working. I went and put myself through nursing school. Mm-hmm. I got graduated with a bachelor's degree in nursing and science. And it just, things click at certain times of your life. Your current situation is not your reality.
Mm. Dive a little deeper on that.
So your current situation does not define who you are right now. Your life story does, but mm-hmm. that eventually catches up with you because you can change who you are. Mm. You can change that. And simply by accepting God into your heart and doing the teachings he tells you to do, you then shed that old skin and you become renewed and you become a new person. I'm not saying that old habits don't creep mm-hmm. out, mm-hmm. but it just feels like you have a more of a feeling of, oh, I shouldn't be doing.
So it's almost like the Holy Spirit lives in you and is going to guide you, right?
Yeah.
And is going to help you understand things and let go of things. I remember early on when I was single, I was struggling with fornication, sleeping with different girls. And it came a point in time that I'm like, I want to continue doing it. Obviously, the flesh wants to, but I'm like, I know I can't. Like, it doesn't please you, God. I was really trying to please God, but also trying to please my flesh at that time. And I just told God, hey, if you don't take this desire away, if you don't help me get self-control, I'm going to continue doing this. Help me, God. And guess what? God gave me strength, right? I was able to say no. And I'm like, at that time, I'm like, I'm saying no right now. I'm like walking away. I'm like, that never really happens. But now it's happening. I'm like, thank you. It's interesting. And also, one thing you talked about, abiding in the Lord and walking with God, doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. It just means that when you do sin, you're not going to feel comfortable in the sin, right?
Yeah. And you got to confess that. You got to get it out. You got to get it off your chest. You got to live. You got to get that out of you. And it's like a cancer. Mm-hmm. You can feel it just growing and burning inside of you. And it's not meant to be there. And a lot of people struggle with, once they confess it and they ask for forgiveness, they allow that guilt, which we just had a service on Sunday. Guilt can be good or bad. Guilt can be the devil pulling up past stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's good guilt, because it is the devil saying, hey, this, but if you're living in God, you know for a fact that God's already took care of that guilt for you. Mm. Get it out of you. Get it away from me.
Got it.
And the bad guilt is if you do actually do something bad, and that guilt is burning inside of you, and it's nothing you have taken care of yet, you need to address. Otherwise, it's going to fester. You're going to hinder in your walk with Christ. You're not going to be able to grow and develop. You're going to end up not getting the nutrition from God to grow as a Christian.
That's so good. That's so good. And part of the forgiveness, as you were talking about the process of forgiving your parents, it's almost like you saw the necessity of talking to them about the Lord and about their salvation, because they were towards the end of their life, right? That triumph, any resentment or bitterness they had. Is that true?
Yeah, and the fact that I knew that God would not let me stay in that hateful, I had to get out of it. Like, it was you're choosing to stay in hate, or you're choosing, it was that, okay, you're going to continue to hate your parents or hate the family, or you're going to follow me and let me show you how this is going to be taken care of.
And that could almost be turned into idol worship too, right? Yeah. To a degree, staying in the hatred.
And we got to cast that out. We got to cast everything out of us. If our phone, well, it says in the Bible, if our left hand sins, we should cut it off.
Yep. Yep.
I don't want to see anybody actually cutting their arm off. What? Like,
disclaimer.
Phones. Like, I know for a fact you're scrolling through, oh man, that's a good looking girl. I'm going to stare at this for a second. That's not okay. We still have that flesh thing. It's always going to be part of us, but like, we got to understand in that second, God is staring at us the entire time. Mm. God is with us, and he's seeing what we're seeing, and we're supposed to be the temple. We're the eyes of God, we're the hands of God, like, and we're supposed to have that armor of God on us. If a commander or anybody in the army doesn't do what they're supposed to be, they get ripped of their rank, they get ripped of their armor. Same thing we're doing. We're getting ripped of everything. And it's the devil doing it. It's not even God doing it to us.
So somebody that grew up that maybe has a similar background as you, they think, hey, I'm long gone. I committed too many sins. Maybe they got into drugs. Maybe they were suicidal. Maybe they killed somebody, right? Who knows? But they feel like God will not approve of them because of their sins, because of their background. What do you say to somebody like that?
God says all sins equal. So if I were to say a lie, it's the equal amount of me killing somebody. So if a sinner can sin. At the end of the day, sin is sin. If we ask God to take away, which he says in the Bible, if you ask me to take it away, I will take it away. He also says in the Bible that if we ask for him to come in our hearts and forgive us of our sins, he's going to come into our hearts and forgive us of our sins. You're completely washed clean, white as snow.
Wow. Is that simple?
It's that simple. We taking, we allow the world to influence what we have going on around us, in us, around, in our minds. We should simply be living as simple as children and not in a messed up situation like mine, obviously, because children are so innocent. It's not until they get into like 7, 8, 9, they start realizing, oh, my friend's not doing that. Oh, my friend's calling me weird because I go to church. And that's, again, the environment we set ourselves in. And I want to go back to the thing where you said, if you're struggling with addiction and you want to be a light to other people that, like, if you get out of that, you want to be a light to other people that are struggling with addiction, but you also don't want to put yourself into a situation where you got to mature. So basically, when you become a Christian, it's like you're becoming a baby. Babies have to be protected. Babies have to be guarded. Babies have to be, you know, they have to be fed. That being said, when you're first starting out your Christian walk, you need to be in church. You need to be getting, you need to have a family around you. You need to have those things to help guide, protect, and grow you.
Yeah.
To where you can develop into what you need to be to go back to those individuals and pull them out of that. I wouldn't advise if you just got clean to go to a bar. Like if you're alcoholic, go to a bar where you were before. Likelihood of you slipping up is great because this is like a baby. If I set a baby on the ground and walk away, something's going to happen.
True.
Baby's either going to pull on an electric cord, they're going to stick something in their mouth. Although you have kids, so you know if they get something they're not supposed to have, how quick do they become?
Oof.
How tight does their grip?
Yeah.
And same thing with like developmentally disabled people. And how easy is it for a developmentally disabled person to learn a bad cuss word over just basic language? Like, they seem to just pick it up. Just like kids. If you say a bad cuss word in front of a kid, usually what's the first word that comes out of their mouth? The word you just said. We have to teach them not to.
So what I'm getting from you is if you just started a relationship with God, you want to make sure that you set yourself up right. You connect with people that are like-minded. If you had struggled with addiction, drugs, alcohol, don't go to those places, right, until maybe you're ready. From there, abiding in God, either, you know, obviously going to church, reading the Bible, having conversations with God throughout the day, right? That's fair to say. But also you talked about people that are already in church or part of the church for a number of years. They need to get uncomfortable and going back to people that are lost, essentially, that don't know about the Lord,
and
so they can know about the
life. To do that, are they really saved?
You took it there.
I mean, can have this photo, this facade of, and I'm not judging anybody based off their Christianity, but it's like the Stepford Wives. Oh, we're so perfect. We got this robot. We go to church every Sunday. What about Monday through Saturday? What's that look like for you? What are you doing with that? You went to church. You've seen that. You know what the steps are.
Yeah.
Are you using it?
So it's almost like there's a hole in their gospel. Because they're reading all these passages, but not doing what the Bible calls them to do.
Well, are they reading it, though? We don't know. We're not in there. We got to worry about ourselves. But, like, we're not too high and mighty. There's only one high and
mighty. And also, I want to touch on being like a child. Were you talking about having, like, a childlike faith? Is that kind of like what you were going at?
Okay. Childlike faith.
Childlike
faith. Because when they're young and you tell them, hey, don't do that, they're going to believe it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when I teach Bible school and I was teaching at churches, they're crazy. Yes, they're running around. Yeah. But crazy thing is if you let them do what they're doing, majority of the time they are picking up what you're hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
What about those other individuals that do struggle with like attention, like as far as like paying attention, drawing on stuff? And like, I know when I have to focus, I either have to take notes or I have to draw.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm not focused. It's that's how I hone myself in.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like my prayers are very similar. If I'm not like praying out loud or writing, it just, I get distracted easily.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say I haven't been in church, and I pass judgment because people are out there. Mm-hmm. I've been to a few different churches, and like I've went to holiness churches and holy rollers. Mm-hmm. And watch people attempt to speak in tongues. I mean, I'm not bashing that. That's however you connect with God. Mm-hmm. That's how you connect with God.
Yeah.
And I have no say so on if you're saved, I'm saved.
Right.
We don't have that. To not focus on what's going on around us and focus on what we can control and how we present ourselves and how we show the love of God. If that's us judging, is that really the love of God? Because God told us not to judge. If some dude that comes in a biker outfit smoking a cigarette outside comes into church, he's where he's meant to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I'm getting from you is not judging as far as in like saying, oh, that person is going to go to hell, but more so understanding that there's a difference between judging, meaning like, let's say you meet a person that says, hey, I go to church, like I'm right with God, but they're living a double life.
Yeah.
Right. That, you know, we can judge. We could talk to that brother and say, hey, what's going on? Seems like you're telling me you go to church, but you live in this, you know, double life, right? What is going on, right? That's a form of judging.
We're not to judge on that. We're to speak the truth. Okay.
Yeah.
These are facts. I see that you go to church. I see this, but I'm also seeing this. Is everything okay? Is there something I can do to help you?
Right.
You know, speaking in love, not in judgment.
None in judgment. Okay.
And I'll throw this out there. Mm-hmm. LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think there's a P at the end.
Is there now?
I don't know. Go ahead.
That being said, Christians don't hate you. It does say in the Bible that it is an abomination. Again, it's not my job to say who you sleep with or who mm-hmm. you have sex with. I want to know, do you know God? And if you know God, let's talk about what happened. Not so much what happened. Where do you see in the Bible that this is okay? Can you mm-hmm. tell me, like, where in this development? I'm open to communication about that. I'm not going to judge you on that. It's, I want to know what your thought process is, where this is coming down from. I know you get who you love. And like I said, my grandma was a lesbian. I have a cousin that is transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't judge them. They, mm-hmm. they're doing what they feel is good in life for them. Yeah. I pray for them. I pray for their healing. I pray for their salvation. I pray for them to find true happiness. You know, I love people. And it took me a while to get to the point of loving people. Like I mm-hmm. was the judge. I was the one that was going out there and saying, hey, you're an idiot. You know, mm-hmm. it literally took mom passing away and my wife beating me over the head with, hey, you're not the judge. You're not the judge.
Yeah.
And she's kind of been my, you know, my light. I wouldn't be able to do or be where I'm at without her and her family's guidance.
Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you broke that down, because for somebody that is living in sin and is going to church and claim to be a Christian, we could have that conversation with them. I mean, the Bible talks about if, you address them and they do not receive the message, you could bring somebody else. And then eventually, you know, you have to kick that person out of the church. We understand that, but they're claiming to be a believer, a Christian, right? Now, on the other hand, we have, like you said, the spiker that's going and, you know, smelling like smoke or weed, whatever the case, he's going to church. We need to interact with them like we would anybody. Hey, you're coming. You don't know the truth. You don't know God. Totally understand, you're in the right place, right?
Yeah.
Right? Awesome. Also, you talked about, you know, the LGBT. Again, I'm not sure all the, So, you know, having a conversation with people that are living that lifestyle, just because maybe they feel like Christians are very judgmental.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And they feel certain things against Christianity. But yet, it's kind of interesting to me, because in the Middle East, if you are homosexual, transgender, whatever, they will kill you or put you in prison, right? Automatically. and a lot of Middle Eastern countries. In this country, the U.S., that's not the case, right?
Which is good, because is we should be killing people.
Yeah.
It's not our job to kill people.
Exactly. It's kind of interesting you said, because Christianity gets a bad rap, and I get it, because there's people that are very judgmental, like condemning people, like you talked about.
But are they Christians?
Are they? That's a good point. But then you have other religions that are not tolerant, like, let's say, Muslims, that in the Middle East, not talking about the American Muslims, but Muslim countries in the Middle East, that will kill somebody if they know that somebody is homosexual or transgender and so forth.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting, because you're coming across as a person that just wants to have a conversation. If they want to have a conversation, essentially,
yeah, you can't,
you're not
force
trying to
anybody
shove
to anybody.
A message on anybody's throat, which is a good thing. And I think more people need to know that about our
shove
faith.
A Bible down somebody's throat. It doesn't help move them. It doesn't help progress them.
Yep. All you're trying to say is there is a heaven. There's a hell. And for people that don't know about the Lord that sacrificed himself for our sins, you're trying to lead them in that direction.
Yeah.
Right? You're just trying to run up people that are already going down a certain path, not because they chose, but in a sense, like, they were born already sinners.
We're all born sinners.
Yep.
And again, and I don't know that you choose who you love. You love who you're attracted to, and that attraction may be a guy, maybe a girl, that's your attraction. It's your whatever's wired in your brain. I just want to know. I want to have a conversation and try to understand what that wire looks like, and what, you know. I want to show them in the Bible. Hey, you could still be saved. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you did, you can all be saved.
So it's almost like you want to have a conversation with them with the goal of understanding, but then afterwards, point them to the light. You know, talk about your own experience of how you found the Lord, and now your life is different because of your relationship with God. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Okay.
I feel like we don't have these conversations.
Yeah.
It's like frowned upon.
Well, that's what the name of the podcast, Crucial Conversations.
I mean, I get that completely. If I were to go say this out in just public and say it out loud, people are going to say I'm crazy.
Oh, for sure.
People are going to say I'm nuts. I have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I know what it feels like.
I
know what the love feels like. I know what God feels like.
Mm-hmm. Hardships.
Yeah. Do I struggle daily? I still struggle daily. Mm-hmm. It's flesh.
Yeah.
And we're not fighting against each other. The government, the powers to be are trying to pit us against each other and have us fight each other instead of looking at what's actually happening on around us. Government should not have control over every little decision we make. We should not, government shouldn't be able to give themselves pay raises and stuff like that on our own dollar. And that's a whole different story on a different day.
Yeah.
They dictate how we feel because they push it through media.
Oh, yeah.
Christians hate these Christians hate these people. That is not what Christianity is.
That's
Christianity is love.
And why is Christianity so attacked in the U.S. more than other religions, per se?
Well, we just went through a Bible study that shows that we go through history. Historical cycle. So we're in a historical cycle of Christianity being hated. There are indications that we are heading towards the end years.
End years of persecution.
Persecution, end years. There's things that are falling in place that indicate that Jesus' second coming is coming. And I know they've been saying this for years. Yeah. We don't know the timing. Like, our day compared to Christ is nanosecond.
Yeah.
And I know that's hard to fathom and hard to think, but we are heading towards an end, and it's not a good end, because we're all going to be fighting each other while other powers are taking over.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason that adults should be touching kids. There's no reason that we should have an island with these celebrities, and it's starting to come to light now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been years, and I know when you were young, did you hear anything about that?
Nope.
That was never, it was never mentioned. Mm-hmm. Now it's smeared across everything, like, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I know it's a good thing that they're identifying there's an issue.
Yeah.
Why do we gotta keep talking about it? And I get why we do, but like, why aren't we resolving it instead of just talking?
I think the government right now, it seems like they're focused on wars, and right?
Re-elections.
And conflicts, re-elections. There's a lot going on there that we're probably gonna have you come back so we could dive into that as well. But talking about the topic of sin, it seems like people naturally say, hey, at least I don't. Whatever, right? Yeah. So if they lie, say, hey, at least I don't fight people. If they fight people, hey, at least I don't murder people. If I don't murder people, hey, at least I don't rape women. The person that rapes women, hey, at least I don't rape children, right? They,
yeah.
They keep on passing down that thought process, which is not healthy because sin is sin. Sin is not being perfect, essentially. You missed the mark.
We're never going to be. We're always going to sin. We're going to wake up in some form or fashion going to sin at some point in time. Something's going to click in our head.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to cut us off. We're going to be like, you know, it's part of the body. It's part of the flesh. It's God came down to forgive us of that. We would never be allowed into heaven had God not come down. And, well, Jesus, which part of the Trinity, which whole different thing for a different day, sacrificed his life. How many times is a guy going to let his kid just be sacrificed? A mm-hmm. perfect kid who did nothing get sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an adult at the time when mm-hmm. he did, but he lived his life perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's the only person to do so.
So good. So good. So I'm glad we have you on the podcast. We talked about different things. And I mean, we learned about you and your life story as well. And God does transform people,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
And he changes, and you're evidence of that. And maybe we're going to have you on the podcast so we can talk a little more about what you currently do. And then also maybe a little bit of politics.
Yeah,
that's okay. Hey,
politics. And if anybody wants me to dive into any other story, break
perfect. What awesome. Awesome. We'll do that, man. Well, what is a message that you have for our audience here today?
Your current situation does not define you. You can get out of it. You're not stuck in your situation. If you're in an abusive relationship, you can get out of that. If you're in a situation where you just feel lost, you're not lost. We can get you out of there. God can help provide. If you need to talk, we can talk. We can work things through. Life is too precious and very short to end it and also be angry and frustrated all the time. We shouldn't be in those dark pits of depression, anxiety. I get those are medical things, and it does happen. And you do need medication. Like, you can go to the doctor and get medication, but there's also healing outside of that.
That's so good. You have to remember, guys, that this too shall pass. So keep that in mind. Great message. How can people connect with you?
You can email me directly at adamwayneburton@gmail.com. You can text me at 937-618-2510.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And with that being said, guys, be sure to like, subscribe, share, and all that. And remember, keep fighting the good fight. Stay in prayer. Stay dangerous. And we're out. Boom. That Rodriguez show. Yeah, that Rodriguez show. Yeah.